Hi, I'm Paul Perreault, co-host of Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig von Busick. On behalf of Craig, I want to thank you for listening to our weekly show of news and prayer. Feel free to share this with others. Plus, you can find out more or listen to past shows at our show page on myfaithradio.com. Thanks again for joining us for Grace and Truth.
I am running for President of the United States.
It is to preserve and protect that freedom that this morning I announce I am a candidate for the Republican nomination.
I'm Lindsey Graham, and I'm running for President of the United States.
Today, I am running for the presidency of the United States of America.
And the field continues to grow. Four more announced candidates on the Republican side: Rick Santorum, George Pataki, Lindsey Graham, and Rick Perry joining the race in the last couple of weeks. Of course, then again, there's been voices on the Democratic side as well.
To you and to all who can hear my voice, I declare that I am a candidate for President of the United States, and I am running for you.
Today, I'm formally entering the race for the Democratic nomination for president.
Two more voices there, Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland, as well as Lincoln Chafee, who's the Rhode Island governor right now, on the Democratic side. So this is Grace and Truth, by the way, with Craig von Busick, who is our host. And Craig, I think the score now is 10-4. if we're trying to, you know, go on scoring here. But yeah, 10 Republican candidates so far announced and more likely to come. And now there's also four Democratic candidates.
Yeah, it's a burgeoning field. I haven't seen a field this big since 1988. When Ronald Reagan had finished his second term and the field was wide open. And so we've got another president who's finishing up a second term, and history is repeating itself all over again. Kind of interesting, and we want to take a look at some of the positions of some of these candidates. I'll just start on the Democratic side, and then we can go to the Republicans from there.
And these are,
you know, we've done this before a couple months ago. And now we've got a whole new batch, and there's going to be another batch coming. It seems pretty clear, but for now, let's go over this batch and get through it as fast as we can. Martin O'Malley, all right, he's the former governor of Maryland. He has been a former mayor of Baltimore, a two-term governor in Maryland. And some of the things that he has made a stand on the budget, he's for mixing spending cuts with tax increases. So kind of a Walter Mondale, a Minnesotan, who said, Ronald Reagan's going to raise your taxes, but he's not going to tell you, and I just did tell you that I will raise your taxes. O'Malley has told us, just like Mondale, all right, on climate change, he believes that it's real. He believes it's a natural threat, and he believes it's man-made, that government should regulate greenhouse gas emissions. On guns, he's for increasing gun control, banning dozens of assault weapons, limiting the size of gun magazines, and requiring fingerprints to buy a gun, which would raise some civil liberties concerns there. On immigration, he believes that we should create a path to citizenship for immigrants in a country that are illegal. So basically following in the lead of President Obama, he believes that we should pass the DREAM Act, which would allow children of immigrants to come in without any penalty and to be able to have all the benefits of any citizens, and then allow undocumented students to pay in-state tuition rates. On Obamacare, he is in favor of keeping and expanding the Affordable Care Act. On social issues, he believes in legalizing same-sex marriage, allowing access, full and free access to abortion, and to abolishing capital punishment. And then just on a couple of other hot-button issues, Israel and Iran, he believes we should continue negotiations with Iran and work for the two-state solution in Israel between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And then on the Islamic State in Iraq, he has not really taken strong stances there, but that he says Congress should set clear parameters for any use of ground troops. He's, you know, for the most part, sounds like pretty much on the left side of the spectrum, which is to be expected as a Democratic candidate. However, we can go further left, can't we, Paul?
I think we do when it comes to Lim Chafee, don't we?
Yes. And even further to the left is Bernie Sanders. And he is the nation's only avowed, proud socialist member of Congress. He has said to high school students that they should argue with their parents and teachers. He is ardent anti-war activist. However, he's known for fighting for military veterans. So interesting mix there. So going down the list, on campaign finance, he believes in limiting corporate and interest group spending in campaigns. On climate change, he is considered to be what they call a climate change hawk. He argues that shifting global temperatures are a significant threat caused by human activity. He has sponsored a bill which would charge companies for their carbon emissions. Wow. And then he said we should use that money to raise awareness and to boost renewable energy technology. On education, he agrees with President Obama that there should be 2 years of free tuition, although he says at state colleges, which goes even further, President Obama's proposal is for community colleges. On guns, he said there should be no federal handgun waiting period. There should be some protection for gun manufacturers, but a ban on assault weapons. On health care, he espouses a single-payer system in which the federal and state governments would provide health care to all Americans, and participating states would be required to set up their own single-payer system and a national oversight board, which would establish an overall budget. On immigration, again, he agrees with President Obama's plan to offer a path to citizenship and waive some deportations at this time. On taxes, he believes in raising taxes on the wealthy and cutting taxes for the middle class. As far as foreign intervention, he is a ardent anti-war activist, and so he believes that our troops should come out of Iraq, our troops should come out of Afghanistan, and pretty much anywhere else where they are in the world. Of course, we just heard this news yesterday that President Obama has given the okay for 450 American troops to go into Iraq to work alongside them to fight ISIS on the ground. That is a major policy shift, and it'll be interesting to see if there will be an increase in that. A lot of the Republican candidates, as we've already talked about, Paul, are saying that we should do a surge in Iraq, similar to what President Bush did in the former uprising of the militant Islamic extremists. So far, President Obama has not agreed on that, and Bernie Sanders certainly does not agree on that. On Iran and Israel, Sanders backs President Obama's negotiations with Iran and sharply criticized the Republican senators who signed a letter warning Iran against a potential deal. Sanders has been highly critical of Prime Minister Netanyahu, and he was actually the first senator to announce that he would not attend the speech. So any thoughts on the Democratic candidates, Paul?
Well, I mean, so far, everybody seems to be running, as far as the Democratic Party spectrum is concerned, more on the left side of it. And you see that with Lincoln Chafee. You didn't bring up much about Lincoln yet. But as I look at those candidates that have announced, the four, and I hear ranklings that Jim Webb is possibly coming in. Now, Jim Webb's a former Virginia senator. He's also former Navy secretary. He's a little more on the moderate side of the spectrum.
That's right.
And so I guess, if anything, I'm going, he would be the only different voice, so to speak, within the Democratic circles.
Well, and it actually is probably one of the reasons that Senator Webb is considering running, because he offers a true alternative on the Democratic side. He is much more of a moderate. He's from Virginia, which tends to be a moderate to conservative state. I lived in Virginia for 20 years, and Senator Webb was my senator, and he is definitely not your typical far-left-leaning Democrat. He is definitely a centrist. He would give the Democratic voters a different perspective. He's really more in the lines, when you compare his views, he's really more of a Bill Clinton Democrat. But going back to Lincoln Chafee, just going over a couple of his views, he believes on immigration, he wants to give undocumented immigrants access to in-state tuition and offer the path of citizenship, just like President Obama. On marijuana, he believes in decriminalizing possession of small amounts, and he wants to watch how things progress in Colorado and other states that have passed that legalization. On the Health Care Act, he wants to keep the Affordable Care Act and move towards universal coverage. On social issues, he believes in access to abortion without limitation. He voted against the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003, and he believes in legalizing same-sex marriage. As far as the Islamic State, the 2003 invasion of Iraq, according to him, was a mistake. To fight the Islamic State, the U.S. must build alliances, including with Russia, he says. And then on Iran and Israel, the U.S. should negotiate with Iran. And he said President George W. Bush was right to support a two-state solution and roadmap for peace between Israel and the Palestinians. So again, a lot of the same things, but a little tweaks in different areas.
Let's look at the Republicans, though, because we have four new Republicans, adding up to the total of 10 announced candidates.
Yes. Well, let's take a look here first at Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas. He's the longest-serving governor in Texas history, so he's been around. He was a candidate the last time around, and many people remember that he had the famous time where his mind went blank during one of the debates, and he could not remember one of his key political positions, so that hurt him. He later said that he was on some medication for pain meds and that that had affected him. We'll see how he does in the debates this time around. On the budget, he believes in capping federal spending at 18% and that we should pass a constitutional amendment to require a balanced budget and then to work towards balancing the budget within a decade. On climate change, he's on the other side of the spectrum. He said that temperatures change naturally, and science has not proven that current changes are permanent or man-made. On education, he would close the Department of Education, and he opposes federal education standards. He says that's the work of the states and local entities. On entitlement, Social Security may not be constitutional, he says. He considers raising the retirement age and lowering benefits for the wealthy. States should be allowed to opt out. On immigration, there should be no immigration reform or path to citizenship until the borders are secure, he says. He would know, having all those years there in protecting the largest border on our Mexican border with Texas. And then he would allow undocumented students access to in-state tuition. He would like to repeal the Affordable Care Act and allow the states to determine how to address health care. On social issues, he's in favor of banning abortion after 20 weeks, with the exception of the life of a mother. He would require sonograms before allowing abortion, and he believes states should decide whether to allow gay marriage. On Iran and Israel, he would block or invalidate any nuclear deal with Iran. And he says that while he had been in favor of a two-state solution in the past, he doesn't believe that currently it is a viable option. And so he said that, you know, he would like to see negotiation to determine where to go from here. He's a strong supporter of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So as far as the ISIS, he wants to send American ground troops to fight the Islamic State. He told CNN that the U.S. military must be more actively engaged with allies in the battle. He's not indicated the number of troops that he would send, but last year Perry called for an increase in airstrikes. He warned that if left unchecked, the militant group could send soldiers across the U.S. border with Mexico. So quite a difference than the Democratic side of the ticket.
Definitely.
So it's very, very interesting. All right, let's go on to Marco Rubio. He is somewhat of a wonder kid type of person, very young. He's the son of Cuban immigrants. He was the Florida's youngest ever state House speaker. He brings a bit of a new perspective on the Republican side as far as his views. He supports balancing the budget within 10 years and freezing spending for everything except for defense at 2008 levels. On climate change, he's a more of a centrist. He believes that climate change is real and man-made, but he opposed a measure stating that human activity contributes to changing temperatures. On Obamacare, Rubio has attacked the Affordable Care Act and wants to repeal it. His replacement proposal that he mentioned in a Fox News op-ed calls for new tax credits to help people purchase insurance, revising health insurance regulations, and reforming Medicare and Medicaid. On immigration, as a Senate candidate, He opposed a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants who remain in the U.S. Then in 2013, he joined the Gang of Eight, quote-unquote, which drafted and pushed a comprehensive immigration bill through the Senate. The legislation set up a criteria and a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants and increased the size of the Border Patrol. On social issues, he's in favor of banning abortion after 20 weeks. He believes marriage is between a man and a woman, but the Supreme Court will decide the law. As far as Cuba, Rubio has vowed to block President Obama's effort to work with the Castro-led government of Cuba and establish more normalized ties. He argues the policy shift comes at the Cuban people's expense. On Iraq, he's a bit of a hawk. He said that the only acceptable deal with Iran is one that totally ends its enrichment program. He was one of the 47 senators who signed an open letter to Iran's leaders warning them that any deal could be overturned. On Islamic State, Rubio wants to increase the president's power to attack the Islamic State and has strongly opposed the Obama administration's war powers request, which would set a three-year time limit and rule out enduring offensive ground combat operations. Again, a very different view, but a few things that are a little bit mixed. So let's look at Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham is a well-known senator from South Carolina. He is, as far as reforming campaign finance laws, he was a supporter of McCain-Feingold campaign finance law in 2002. And as president, he would push for a constitutional amendment to allow Congress to limit spending on PACs, super PACs, political action committees. On climate change, Graham sees climate change as real and believes it's partially man-made, and he would work to craft a market system that set limits on carbon emissions. Going down the list, on immigration, he would secure the border, then allow a path to citizenship. On Obamacare, he wants to repeal it or defund it. He doesn't like it. He wants it to be redone. On social issues, he would ban most abortions at 20 weeks, and the nation should accept the Supreme Court's decision on homosexual marriage. Our last candidate, who is a new candidate since the last time that we spoke, is Senator Rick Santorum, who was my senator when I was in Pennsylvania. Of course, Rick Santorum surprised everyone in the last primary election by going almost all the way to the end and giving the Republicans a run for their money. So it'll be interesting to see if he's been able to build on his success from the last go-around. On the budget, Santorum wants to add an amendment to require a balanced budget. On climate change, he does not believe it is caused by human activity, and he would actually allow more oil and gas drilling in the United States. On immigration, he would block the DREAM Act and any pathway to citizenship for undocumented workers and then restrict legal immigration but increase border security. On Obamacare, he wants to repeal it and set up alternative systems with tax credits for low-income Americans and high-risk pools for those with previous illnesses. On social issues, ban abortion with the exception of when the mother's life is in danger and pass a constitutional amendment defining that marriage is between one man and one woman. And then on Iran and Israel, ramp up sanctions on Iran and strengthen the alliance with Israel. With regard to the Islamic State, more airstrikes, and he would deploy up to 10,000 U.S. ground troops or more as needed. So again, quite a difference on the Democratic side. So it should be interesting to see how it all plays out.
It should be very interesting, and which took up about 20 minutes of our show, believe it or not. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, you know, we talk about praying the news. We're going to talk about just prayer for a very specific reason. Stay with us.
War.
The U.S. and its allies stepping up the fight against ISIS.
Crime. Unrest. Epidemics.
An individual has been diagnosed with Ebola in the United States.
When you watch the news, do you shake your head in despair or do you bow your head in prayer? In the book Praying the News, journalist Craig Von Busick and Wendy Griffith invite you to see watching the news as an opportunity to go to prayer with confidence that God is at work and not as a time to give in to fear and despair. Bad news is no match for the good news of God's kingdom. Praying the News by Craig Van Busick and Wendy Griffith, published by Revell. More information on Praying the News and other books by Craig Van Busick can be found on the Grace and Truth page at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to Grace and Truth with Craig Van Busick, who is our host every week. I'm Paul Perreault, and doing a really short segment this time. Coming up on Thursday is the start of Ramadan, and for us, you know, as mostly Christians and Americans, we don't have a lot of knowledge of Ramadan, Greg. So can you kind of give us the background? What is Ramadan in the Muslim religion?
Well, Paul, Ramadan is all about fasting and denying oneself to become more in touch with their feelings of God and God's presence in their life as Muslims. And so Ramadan is the ninth month of the Muslim calendar, and the dates are different every year. And so this year it begins on June 18th.
It's Thursday.
And so, yes, and so there is a big push around the world for Christians to be praying for Muslims during Ramadan. In many places around the world, Muslims will be looking to the heavens on the first night, which is, like you said, next Thursday, and they will be interested in knowing if they will be able to see the crescent moon. And if it is visible, this will be a sign for them for the beginning of the month of Ramadan. No fasting takes place that night, but the next morning Muslims rise early to eat their breakfast before the day begins, and then after that they don't have anything else to eat or drink until nightfall. And the whole idea is that every time they feel their stomach rumbling or churning, it reminds them of their devotion to God. And so fasting for them is a spiritual exercise that brings them closer in their relationship to God. The name Ramadan is derived from the Arabic word meaning Ramada, denoting intense scorching, especially on the ground. It's like another word for sunbaked sand. And so their idea is that Ramadan scorches out the sins with good deeds as the sun burns the ground. So it is a work-oriented religion, works-oriented philosophy, and so forth. So during the time of Ramadan, Muslims will feel a special feeling of emotion or excitement, religious zeal. It's really one of the high points of the year for the Muslims, both religiously but also culturally and in socialized ways. Children look forward to the excitement of seeing the moon and eating special meals with their families. People get together and they pass around gifts and so forth, and they feel a particular closeness. So I encourage people who are interested in knowing more about Ramadan and praying, as we do on this program, praying for Muslims around the world during the time of Ramadan, to go to a special page called 30daysprayer.com. The number 30daysprayer.com. There's all kinds of wonderful resources, and it allows people to be praying along during that time. So why don't we go to prayer for
yes.
this and for the presidential candidates. Father, we lift this up to you, Lord God. We pray for the Muslims around the world that as they are seeking God, Lord, that they would come to know you, and Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. We've already seen around the world many, many stories of Muslims who have cried out for truth and have cried out to know you, and Jesus appears to them in dreams and says, I am the one you are seeking. So Jesus, we pray that you would reveal yourself to Muslims as they seek God in prayer during this time. We also pray that you'd give us wisdom here in the United States as we are choosing our political candidates. Help us to choose wisely, and may your will be done in the coming election. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Craig, thanks again for another great week.
It's a pleasure. See you next week, Paul.
That was Dr. Craig Van Busick. He is our host every week on Grace and Truth here on Faith Radio. Now, he mentioned that website for praying during Ramadan for the Muslim people. If you have neighbors, show grace to them and pray for them during this next month, starting this coming Thursday. Again, go to 30daysprayer.com. And since you're on the internet, head over to our show page as well. Go to myfaithradio.com. Under programs, look for Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig Von Busick. There you can listen to past broadcasts, learn more about the books that Craig has written, including the big book that we'd like to talk about, which is Praying the News. We're urging you through the show and through that book to pray the news, not just bowing your head in despair when you read the news, but going to God in prayer. I'm Paul Perreault. On behalf of Dr. Craig Von Busick, have a great rest of the weekend. Join us next week. And until then, remember to pray the news with grace and truth.